This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm really excited to have undoubtedly the top legal scholar in the country joining us in the next segment, Alan Dershowitz, another great legal eagle. Robert Barnes is riding shotgun with me today. In fact, he was going to be hosting today. I have my own court stuff I have to deal with, but I'm going to push it up to right to the time I got to be in court in like an hour to talk to Alan Dershowitz about this historic event that's just unfolded. So Alan Dershowitz is coming up here with us live in 5 minutes when a couple hundred radio stations join us after this break. But Robert Barnes, give us a prelude of some of what you're going to be talking about after Dershowitz goes, but also just in general of why this is so historic, what we've just witnessed.
Well, I think as Professor Dershowitz has identified, this is all uncharted, unparalleled, unprecedented territory. This is an attempt to make something. It goes even worse than that. It's not only the just open, overt, Berea-style political weaponization of our legal criminal justice process. It does things like define something as a crime that's not a crime. It ignores statute of limitations that are meant to protect innocent individuals from wayward, politically motivated prosecutors in part. It's violation of due process, and it's the most selective prosecution, maybe at least in the modern history that I can remember. There have been many selective prosecutions, but this is probably the most abusive and egregious one. You have a district attorney being elected, campaigning in part on promising to indict a particular person for an unidentified crime. I mean, this is just unheard of in American history, of the indictment actually occurring. You've had some people try to misuse their power in this way, abuse their privilege in this way, but very few have actually gone ahead and done it. And yet this one has. And now we're going to see, how does the justice system handle the bail process? Do they abuse it too? The Eighth Amendment exists for a reason. It says no unreasonable bail. It's supposed to be limited to conditions of release that guarantee appearance at trial, not supposed to be used to publicly shame or humiliate people, not supposed to be used to politically embarrass one's political opponents, not supposed to be used to restrict or restrain the freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom of press, or right to petition one's own government. And yet we may see examples and illustrations of that here as well. So all of this is exposing the frailties of our criminal justice process that have mostly only been exposed in lower profile cases against political dissidents further outside the system. This is like the Chicago 7 trial on steroids. It's January 6th on steroids. It's taking a case that basically should not exist from a criminal proceedings, both because of who it is that's being targeted, who it is that's targeting him, but also because of the substantive nature of the claims being made, the charges being leveled, and the limitations that are supposed to be present that are not being present. So this goes right to the core of a constitutional democracy. I mean, people around the world are comparing us to a banana republic. Our global credibility has taken a substantial hit that will never fully come back. You know, we mock other countries when they try to lock up their political opponents. There was a kind of a fake documentary made on behalf of that won an Oscar for Navalny, who's a very marginal political figure in Russia. But it won the best Oscar because he had been locked, just because he'd been locked up, even though I think he got no more than like 1% of the vote ever. Here you have, what signal does it send that we're locking up the former president and leading presidential opponent of the existing incumbent based on completely nonsensical charges that have no basis in fact, no basis in law, no basis in due process, no basis in constitutional restraint on the criminal justice process.
It's just extremely reckless. Stay there. You're going to ride shotgun with us. Alan Dershowitz was really excited about this interview on Twitter, Alan Dersh. And, of course, he's got the new best-selling book, Get Trump, The Threat to Civil Liberties, Due Process, and Our Constitutional Rule of Law. Number one New York Times best-selling author from Skyhorse. Can't wait to get the book. I've got one being sent to me by Skyhorse that published my book, The Great Reset and the War of the World, that went to number one for 2 months. Number one in the New York Times, but they would not list as number one, but number one in all the other systems. This is going to go to number one. Get Trump by Alan Dershowitz. Perfect timing with this book, I got to tell you. Coming up, we're back in 60 seconds, joining hundreds of radio stations. Everybody, tell your friends and family, tune in. You're going to hear from arguably, or not arguably, the top lawyer in the United States on what's really happening. Alan Dershowitz, stay with us.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. TCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
InfoWars.com Frontline Report. It's Alex Jones.
All right. Well, I'm excited after many years trying to get him on the show that we've got him. I agree with him on about 90% of stuff, disagree about 10%, but nobody can deny that Alan Dershowitz is hands down America's top lawyer. He's got the new book out, Get Trump, The Threat to Civil Liberties, Due Process, Our Constitutional Rule of Law. Alan Dershowitz, number one New York Times bestselling author. I don't need to introduce him. Everybody knows who he is. Perfect timing that he was going to be coming on soon about this book. I've been wanting to get him. And then he's here today while this is happening. Robert Barnes is riding shotgun with us as well. He'll have some questions. Alan, thank you so much for coming on. Everybody wants to hear what you have to say. You've been worrying about this for a long time. So I'm going to try to give you the floor here, sir.
Well, I predicted this in my book, Get Trump. I knew that these district attorneys and attorney generals campaigned on the pledge to get Trump. These are Democratic district attorneys and attorneys general, and now they are prosecuting. Forget about the fact that he's the first former president to be prosecuted. He's the first presidential candidate to be prosecuted, and he's running against the head Democrat in the world, obviously, President Joe Biden. And when a popularly elected Democratic DA who swore to get Trump is going after the man running against essentially his boss, the chief Democrat, he better have a slam dunk, ironclad case. And I have to tell you, I haven't seen the indictment yet, but from based on what I've seen, this may be the weakest case I've seen in my 60 years of practicing law. So this is a great danger to American democracy and the rule of law. And I hope that Americans and people all over the world will read my book, Get Trump, as a way of saying to Bragg, we're holding you accountable. You may not be held accountable in New York, where everybody votes against Trump, but we're going to hold you accountable around the country, in front of bar associations, and in front of the court of public opinion, because what you've done endangers the rule of law. You know, today it's a Republican Trump. Tomorrow it could be a Democrat. Day after tomorrow, it's your Uncle Charlie and your niece, and this involves all Americans. I'm a liberal Democrat. I voted against Trump twice. I have no idea who I'll vote for this next time, but it has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with the fact that the Constitution requires a presumption of innocence. It doesn't allow targeting of people, and it, you know, Nancy Pelosi announced today that, no, Trump has to prove himself innocent. No, 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 not in America. In America, an indictment doesn't mean anything. It's just a piece of paper charging somebody with a president with something. But I think every American has to be very concerned about what happened yesterday.
Well, I'm not a top legal scholar like you, but studying history, this has never been done before for a reason. Why has no political party in our 240-plus year history ever done this? Why is this such a constitutional crisis, as basically every analyst is saying?
And as we know, there was a thought perhaps to go after a former president named Richard Nixon. And President Ford did the right thing, and he said, no, we don't do that in America. And he endangered his own presidential reelection by pardoning Trump, which was the right thing to do. I had dinner with President Ford some years after that, and he said that was the most important and principled thing he did during his presidency, preventing a precedent being established that you go after former presidents criminally, even though there was very strong evidence that he had obstructed justice and paid bribes. Here, there's nothing. Here, there's nothing. Here, there's a non-disclosure agreement. Thousands of them are written every year. Nobody in history has ever then put on his corporate form, oh, the reason I paid the $130,000 was to make sure my wife and family doesn't learn about the fact that I was accused of having an adulterous affair with a porn star. Why would anybody ever pay for a non-disclosure agreement and then disclose it? So never in history has anybody been indicted for that kind of Mickey Mouse crime. And then they stitch it together with a federal felony to try to make it a felony. That's not the way criminal justice should operate. You know, Thomas Jefferson once said that for a criminal statute to be constitutional, it has to be so clear that a person who is reading it while running, could understand it clearly. Now, I'm going to read this indictment while sitting with 60 years of experience, and I can bet you that I will not understand how they could make a state felony out of a fake misdemeanor and a fake federal felony that nobody else previously wanted to prosecute.
Mr. Dershowitz, taking off your prestigious legal hat and putting on just an American, a citizen, a historian hat, why is the corrupt deep state bureaucracy doing a crazy Hail Mary like this? I mean, it'd be something if they had something to go after a former president, it'd still be unprecedented and explosive, but to do something with basically an unloaded gun, to threaten the world with banana republic status and not even have the goods, what do you think, just as an American with your gravitas, why they're this desperate or why they're doing this?
Well, first of all, I don't think you can say they. This was a decision made by one person, obviously, the elected district attorney, and he knows he can win this case in New York. Do you remember what happened to me on Martha's Vineyard? I defended President Trump in front of the United States Senate on constitutional grounds, and I lost all my friends on the vineyard. My wife lost her friends. My children lost their friends. Everybody turned against us because I had exercised my and his constitutional right to defend himself. If you just multiply that tenfold, that's what would happen to a judge in New York or a juror in New York who who applied justice, actual justice to Donald Trump. He would never, ever again be part of New York life. He'd be ostracized.
So he's doing it because he's in his own delusional bubbles, what you're saying?
Because he knows he can win. No, he can win in New York. That's why the first thing that his lawyers have to do, Trump's lawyers have to do, is move the case out of New York, move to Staten Island, which is just across the river, but the voting demographics are very different. Move it to upstate New York. He cannot get a fair trial in New York City, and that's why Bragg went after him. Bragg doesn't want to lose this case. He doesn't care if it's reversed on appeal. He'll blame it on the judges. But he doesn't want to lose it in front of a jury, and he probably won't lose it in front of a jury. As they say in New York, a grand jury will indict a ham sandwich, but in New York, when the name of the ham sandwich is Donald Trump, a petty jury will convict him as well. And even though he has very good lawyers, I think the likelihood that lawyers can persuade New York jurors to allow Donald Trump to walk away free and run for president and be reelected is very unlikely.
So you're saying job number one is to move it out of New York City.
That's step number one is out of New York City. Step number two is to apply the statute of limitations. This all happened 7 years ago. And, you know, they say, well, we couldn't have indicted him over the last 7 years. A, we didn't know where he was. He was in the White House. And number two, you can't indict him if he's not in New York. Well, when do you think they indicted him? They indicted him when he was in Florida. So the fact that they indicted him when he was outside of New York means they could have indicted him any day during the seven previous years, and they didn't do it. And I think they blew the statute of limitations. Now, they will argue that, no, because he was out of New York, the statute provides that the statute of limitations tolls. But it's a nonsense argument in light of the fact that they did indict him while he was outside of New York, something they could have done for years. The reason they didn't indict him over the last 7 years, previous prosecutors looked at the case and said there's nothing to it. We're not going to indict him. Those were legitimate neutral prosecutors. And then you get a partisan political guy. And he says, no. The first 2 years I said I didn't think there was a case. In fact, two of his assistants quit over that. But I don't know, did he get calls from George Soros, from other contributors? I don't know the answer to that. But he obviously had pressure put on him.
Yeah, did he get blackmailed?
Well, I don't know anything about that. I don't know what he'd be blackmailed for. He seems like an honorable and decent man and a good lawyer, and he had a good reputation. But you know, when you're caught up in the political winds and you're in New York City where nobody has anything good to say about Donald Trump, I don't mean nobody, but people, voters, don't. If you wear a MAGA hat in New York City, you know, you're going to get hit by a bike or you're going to get, you know, attacked and physically attacked.
Sure, Alan Dershowitz, stay right there. We got to go to break. The book, Get Trump, available everywhere, Skyhorse Publishing. We're going to come back. But I think you misunderstood me. I was getting to your point earlier of they can try this in New York, but the court of public opinion's against them. I was asking in general, I understand the pressure in New York, why they're not thinking outside of just Manhattan that you brought up when you first came on. I mean, the fact that this is going to make Trump explode in popularity, then I guess we're just guessing at why they would do something so reckless. Alan Dershowitz, our guest. Riding Shotgun is Robert Barnes. I'm Alex Jones. Tell everybody you know, tune in now. This is historic. This is important.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast?
We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show, live Friday edition. We have the top lawyer in the country, hands down, Alan Dershowitz, with a new book, Get Trump, Skyhorse Publishing. And Robert Barnes is riding shotgun with us, another successful, well-known lawyer who's going to have some of his own questions as well. So you heard my point earlier, but I don't want to belabor that. All I'm getting at is we're seeing a massive backlash, and we know the feds, going to your point, did not indict Trump on these same, as you say, non-issue Mickey Mouse garbage. And so I guess I'm trying to just read minds here, but I just don't see how such an obviously explosive decision was made for the first time in U.S. history. And I think we can probably chalk it up just to the bubble that that he's in New York City. But how do you see this as a citizen unfolding? And I'd like you to get into all the other facets you'd like to, Mr. Dershowitz.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily just the bubble. I think he wants to be reelected. He made a promise. He promised he would get Trump. But if he doesn't get Trump, he loses his reelection. He has gotten contributions. We know reportedly he got $500,000 from George Soros. And whether he got a call from Soros or just anticipated that Soros might cut back on his contributions if he doesn't do it, this can't be based on objective legal standards. Nobody else would ever be indicted for these kinds of absurd non-crimes. So plainly, he succumbed to pressure. He was pressured by his two former assistant district attorneys, one of whom wrote a book, saying that they ought to go after Trump. But he resisted that pressure initially, and then he succumbed to it. So I don't know whether he got pressured from other people as well, but this is not a righteous, objective, neutral application of the law and the facts. This is something very different. Keep an open mind until you see the indictment. Remember, the indictment hasn't been leaked. The fact of the indictment has been leaked. And by the way, the district attorney Bragg should be investigating who leaked it. It's in his building. It's under his nose. It's in his watch. And is he investigating who made the leak? A leak in New York by grand jurors or by members of Bragg's staff constitutes a Class E felony subject to 1 to 5 years in prison. So I think it's important to know whether Bragg is, in fact, investigating this leak.
Wow. Again, you're the legal scholar. I'd like you to go wherever you, you know, want here. But just briefly bringing in Barnes here, we'll be interviewing and coming up in the next few segments. Robert, you got Alan Dershowitz here with the case of the not the century. This is the case. I mean, in U.S. history, everybody's admitting it. What should I be asking Dershowitz? I'm glad you're here.
Professor. Can you describe for people, I know the courts have sadly not meaningfully enforced it in my view, but that there is a limit on prosecutorial discretion in the Constitution, colloquially known as selective prosecution under the First Amendment, enforceable through the 14th Amendment against the states. Do you think President Trump has a grounds to bring a motion to dismiss for selective prosecution? And can you explain to folks out there what that is and what that entails and that our Constitution does, in fact, have limits on this kind of excess of prosecutorial discretion?
Well, there's no question that there are constitutional limits. Selective prosecution is a hard case to make. This one is so obvious that any court should see through it. Nobody has ever been prosecuted or will ever be prosecuted in the future for doing anything like this if the indictment is what we think it is. We're not absolutely positive. So we have to wait and see. There are also other limitations, ethical limitations. For example, a prosecutor can't put a witness on the stand who he knows or reasonably suspects may be lying. And Michael Cohen, my God, is there, if the word liar appears in the dictionary, Michael Cohen's picture is I mean, he's the man who's lied to his lawyers, lied to the federal authorities, lied to state authorities. And I'll tell you a recent interesting vignette involving me. So his lawyers have now said, oh, yeah, he was a liar in the past. He lied to everybody. But suddenly God has come down to him. Lightning has struck. And he's suddenly turned into a complete truth teller. Well, 2 days ago, he did a tweet about me, which constituted a defamatory lie. He suggested that I was on Jeffrey Epstein's island with underage girls. Obviously, that never happened. The one person who accused me is now recanted and basically said she may have mistaken me for somebody else. Nobody has ever accused me. Even she never accused me of being on Epstein's island.
Well, you're not on the flight logs, and no one has ever said they saw you other than one person that reads.
Yeah. But Michael Cohen decided to lie about me, and I'm going to sue him. And so this will be something that can be used in cross-examining.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. Start over. You're going to sue Michael Cohen. Now, that's big news. Yeah, please tell us.
For defamation. And then the question that if he takes the witness stand, he'll be asked, you say you started telling the truth, but you're just lying about Alan Dershowitz. You know he wasn't on Epstein's Island. You know he's never had sex with an underage girl. You just got mad at him because he called you a liar. So you made up a story about him. So you're still lying, right? How is he going to get around that? So I don't think that Bragg can really put Michael Cohen on the witness stand. If he does, he really subjects his bar card to some kind of a sanction. Lawyers have to only put witnesses on the stand who they honestly believe are going to tell the truth. That's part of the sacred obligation of a lawyer, something I've complied with for 60 years. Sometimes my clients don't like it when I say, no, I'm not putting you on the witness stand. I cannot credibly believe that you're necessarily going to tell the whole truth. And so Bragg has to be applying an even higher standard as a prosecutor. So he has really two alternatives. One, he can risk his bar card by putting Cohen on the witness stand, which would be a mistake. Or he can try to make the case around Cohen, use people other than Cohen to try to prove what Cohen would otherwise approve. He may try to do that, but I suspect Cohen will be called as a witness, will be devastated on cross-examination, and then there'll be questions about Bragg's ethics.
Wow. Barnes, that was a great question. Give us another one.
Yeah, in the same capacity, you've mentioned that you know there are limitations on a grand jury, even though the U.S. Supreme Court, in my view, has watered those down. But one of them that yes. still exists is a prosecutor cannot knowingly suborn perjury or things like that. Do you think there's the possibility that perjured testimony may have occurred in front of this grand jury, including by Cohen?
I do think so, and I think it was also suppression of evidence. Remember that Costello was not called as a witness. Costello, who was Cohen's lawyer, he was not called as a witness. Obviously, Bragg wanted to keep him from the jury, but he volunteered, and he essentially burst into the grand jury room and said, you're going to have to listen to me. And then he testified that the hundreds of emails that he had sent to the DA to show to the grand jury were never shown to the grand jury. So I think there'll be a motion as well for suppression of exculpatory evidence in front of the grand jury, and we'll see whether or not there's also suppression of evidence under the Brady principle that should have been turned over and should be turned over to the defense. This is only the beginning of what will be, as you say, a very monumental case. When I think of the cases in American history, and I've written a book about that, America on Trial, going through all the great cases in American history, this comes close to the trial of Aaron Burr, the former vice president of the United States who was put on trial by Jefferson for treason and defended himself, mostly himself he defended. And
hold on, Alan Dershowitz, longer segment coming up. We're going to come right back with you and Robert Barnes. I want to hear about the Burr case. Is this the biggest case ever? And we'll also just talk about, in general, the timing. Roger Stone was asking earlier if I would ask you and Barnes about the timing of how this goes in the election. Can Trump pardon himself? Obviously not. It's a local case. So how do you see that unfolding? We'll be right back with Alan Dershowitz. They decided to not perp walk him, not put him in handcuffs, not do a mugshot, because they knew that that would help Trump. Didn't they know this would backfire? We were waiting for the mugshot. We learned today they wouldn't have it, so we've made our own. And it says political prisoner. with an image of President Trump. The shirt is being printed now in Texas. It'll be shipping out to you in 1 week. Political prisoner with Trump on the front there in a mugshot jail background. It's a fundraiser shirt. It says Infowars.com on the back of the shirt. We also have Alex Jones for President. No, I'm not running for president. It's a really nice navy blue, high quality shirt. Red, white, and blue. Alex Jones for President. 2024. It's a fun conversational piece and a limited edition shirt. Great way to fund the operation. So get your Alex Jones for President and Trump mugshot shirts at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Cahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, a very dangerous time for our republic. We've seen throughout history similar behavior. We see the third world constantly engaged in this type of behavior. Alan Dershowitz, top lawyer, hands down in the country. Another great lawyer, Robert Barnes. Ride the shotgun with amazing questions. The book, Get Trump, Alan Dershowitz, number one New York Times bestselling author. The threat to civil liberties, due process, and our constitutional rule of law. I wanted to speak more to that. Finish up because you got interrupted by the break on Burr and those trials and where he sees this going. And I'm more on Zach is going to sue somebody who's the star witness against Trump. I want to get more on that because that's a big news-making item. Please don't forget, we're listener-supported. We're not funded by big money. We're funded by you. This book signed or unsigned, available. Infowarsstore.com, The Great Reset, and The War for the World, and the fun shirt, Alex Jones for President. I'm not really running, but that's how we keep this independent media operation on the air, is with fun T-shirts. So, I'm going to hand the baton now to Robert Barnes and Alan Dershowitz. Alan, would you like to get back to the whole Burr trial that you got caught off on?
Yeah, but I just want to mention one thing about T-shirts. President Trump called me the other day just to tell me that he was going to endorse Get Trump, that he thought it was a great book, that he hopes someday I'll vote for him. And I told him, look, I'll give you one bit of advice. Invest in a T-shirt company, because once you have a mugshot, your mugshot will go on every T-shirt, and it will sell more than anything since Frank Sinatra's mugshot, and it will be used probably as a campaign poster. And so that mugshot will become world famous. And I asked him if he would send me a, you know, signed copy of it for my, as you see in the back, my back wall. I have lots of fun things posted. And so getting his mugshot will be interesting too.
That is a great idea. I need to hire you as my chief marketer. I didn't even, that is, now that I think of it, that's a common sense, but that's a great idea.
Yeah. Getting back to Burr for a second, you know, Burr, as you know, killed Hamilton in a duel. But he wasn't prosecuted for that. He was actually sitting vice president when that happened. But he was prosecuted years later for treason. He tried to get a verdict of not guilty. The jury returned a verdict of not proven using the Scottish system. He objected to that. And the judge, who was John Marshall, the great Chief Justice of the United States, said, no, you're going to have to be satisfied with the verdict of not proven. But that trial, and then I would say some of the McCarthy trials, some of the civil rights trials, are the greatest trials in American history, the Rosenberg trial. There are so many. This is going to rank among them if it ever gets to trial. This is a strong possibility. It won't get the trial. It'll be dismissed on statute of limitations or other grounds. But, you know, it might get the trial. And if it gets the trial in Manhattan, he probably will be convicted. And then it'll have to go up to appellate courts. And appellate judges in New York are also elected. And so it may have to wait to get into the federal courts and up to the Supreme Court. But my prediction is in the end, if the indictment is what we think it is, it will not survive.
There has been some talk, Professor, about the possibility of issuing a gag order. That I see this as misuse of bail authority, a violation of First Amendment principles. Can you just tell people why there's constitutional limits on such a gag order, why it should not apply here, and what's the risk that the political pressure in New York leads a judge to issue that kind of gag order?
It's possible. Gag orders like this have been issued in the past. They are, in my view, unconstitutional. We have to take seriously the notion that every American is presumed innocent unless and until they're found guilty by a jury. And innocent people can't be denied their First Amendment rights. By the way, it's not only Trump's First Amendment rights. It's the First Amendment right of everybody to listen to what Trump has had to say. And there are millions of people out there who want to hear him say what he has to say. And so I don't think it would be constitutional to impose a gag order or a travel restriction if he's running for president. But, you know, judges have a lot of discretion, and a lot of judges have made a lot of mistakes about bail conditions. And so I hope that when a judge makes the decision, he'll think more about the Constitution than about what his friends will say about his decision.
In the context of Michael Cohen, for a witness who has the, as you note, the extraordinarily poor track record that he does in making contradictory statements, by his own admission, a self-confessed fraudster, by his own admission, a self-confessed liar, by obvious implication, a perjurer. If you were defending the president, how much would you make the reliability or lack thereof of Michael Cohen a key part of the trial strategy?
Oh, it's a very key part of the strategy. When prosecutors put on witnesses that lie and that lie to the jury, juries see through that and don't like it. Look, people credit me and others for winning the O.J. Simpson case. We didn't win the O.J. Simpson case. The prosecutors lost the O.J. Simpson case by putting on lying witnesses, by putting on police officers who tampered with the evidence. The jurors told us that afterward. And so the greatest gift to Donald Trump would be Michael Cohen, the gift that keeps on giving. And so if I'm a smart prosecutor, I don't go near Michael Cohen, but, you know, then the juries will wonder, we're seeing the play Hamlet. Where's the prince? We don't see Hamlet. He's the central character in this thing, and he's not testifying. And so they're going to have to try to explain that. This is not going to be an easy case. On the merits for Bragg, it may be an easy case because it's in, if it's held in Manhattan. If it's held anywhere else, I think it would be a hard case for him.
Now, do you think that people have a right, of course, to an impartial jury? As you note, that's a very difficult thing to come by in New York City if your name is President Donald John Trump. What can you remind people, what are your constitutional rights, and what would a good judge do to try to find an impartial jury in Manhattan?
Well, I think it would be an impossible task, but he'd have to give the defense an enormous amount of leeway in questioning jurors. And, you know, let's assume you could get 12 jurors who never heard of Donald Trump. What kind of people would they be if they never heard of Donald Trump? Or 12 people who say they have no opinion on Donald Trump. There's one word for that, and that's liars. A lot of potential jurors lie because they want to get on the jury. Everybody wants to be on the jury in the most historic case in modern American history. So you're going to get a lot of people lying about a lot of things in order to get on the jury. I have to tell you, I think it's an impossible job to try to get a fair jury in Manhattan. And I would hope that judges would see that. Now, the motion to get a change of venue is sometimes appealable if that's denied. So it might get to a court of appeals fairly quickly, and a court of appeals might send the case to a different borough or to upstate New York. But we'll see if judges have the courage to do the right thing. Yeah, the right thing is to get the case out of Manhattan.
And what do you think, I don't know if you saw recently the federal civil trial that's coming up in New York, where we'll get to see sort of a quick glimpse at what New York justice might look like if you're named Donald Trump. The court has ordered an anonymous jury. I've always been a little concerned about anonymous juries because it can create at least the impression of secret justice. The average person doesn't get to crowdfund or crowdsource, I should say, information that, as in the Roger Stone case, we found out one of the jurors really had not been fully forthcoming during the process. Ghislaine Maxwell's case raised some issues about that as well. What do you think about the possibility of an anonymous jury in the criminal case concerning Donald Trump?
There's no such thing. Anonymous juries are only anonymous during the trial. Their names then get revealed afterward, and their names get leaked. So I don't think an anonymous jury protects. An anonymous jury also sends a message to the jurors, you've got something to be worried about. And it reaffirms the notion that if people knew you were on the jury, they might take it out on you, either physically or psychologically, emotionally, or in friendship ways. So I don't think an anonymous jury provides much protection. It may provide a little bit of protection. They also may try to get a sequestered jury. But in this case, everybody already knows everything. So sequestering them during the trial won't really provide the kind of fairness that is required to have a fair trial. I just don't think it's possible to have a fair trial. People are going to render verdicts and judgments based on their voting patterns that they want to see Trump be president. If they don't want to see Trump be president, if they like his presidency in the past, they don't like it, that's not the basis for which justice is supposed to be done.
We'll be right back with Professor Dershowitz discussing this unprecedented case of the Trump indictment, his book, Get Trump, which unfortunately predicted and previewed much of the legal horrors we're witnessing. We'll discuss that in
life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Ladies and gentlemen, this book, The Great Reset and the War for the World, is a historic book that documents the globalists, in their own words, plan for our future. That is a hellish future. Now, you'll be always, while they still allow books, I guess, they're starting to ban them, be able to get an unsigned copy of The Great Reset and the War for the World at bookstores, Amazon, or InfoWarsStore.com. But you will never be able to get another signed copy of the book after the signed copies we got run out. And there's about 1,000 left of them right now. So get your copy of The Great Reset and the War for the World, a signed copy at InfoWarsStore.com. And there is a markup there because this is a fundraiser to keep us on the air. So you won't just have this historic memento and this powerful book. You'll also know that you help keep InfoWars on the air. I want to thank those of you that have gotten signed copies of the book or unsigned copies. But I want to encourage all of you who haven't yet to go to InfoWarsStore.com and get a signed copy and buy a couple of unsigned copies and donate to the library or give them to the local school. This is an InfoWar. I'm counting on you, and thank you for your support.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Robert Barnes here, guest hosting with the one and only, the inimitable Professor Alan Dershowitz, the greatest living constitutional lawyer in our time on matters of criminal law, civil law, and political arena as well, has managed to cover all three in his lifetime. A rare someone that I would like to emulate over my legal career if I get the good fortune to do so. Professor Dershowitz, what about the timing? In other words, there's a right to the public has a right to a speedy trial. Trump has a right to a speedy trial. But it may not be in the interest of justice to have a too speedy trial in this case. What do you think the timing is if the case actually ultimately proceeds to a jury trial, if it gets past motions to dismiss and things of that nature? What do you think the timing will be of an actual jury trial in this case?
Hard to believe that there could be a jury trial in this case in this calendar year. I would think that it will occur during the election year, which will make things even more difficult. But the timing was up to Bragg. I think the speedy trial and statute of limitations issues have already expired. I mean, these events occurred 7 years ago. Can he get a fair trial based on the passage of time? And don't statutes of limitations have to be enforced fairly? But I do think that with motions, with possible appeals that could be made of motions, that we're probably thinking about 2024.
In terms of the issues concerning the political weaponization and selective prosecution. Does this potentially open the door to Republican prosecutors in, say, some small county somewhere in the country deciding, well, we'll indict Hillary Clinton now. We'll indict, you know, we'll find something to indict Barack Obama on. We'll indict Hunter Biden. We'll indict Joe Biden. What is the risk of that door has now been opened by this prosecution?
Oh, I think the risk is considerable. In America, we have seen over and over again tit-for-tat politics, and anything the Democrats do, the Republicans do, and vice versa. And I do think that we will see more political charges, and we'll see the bar reduced. It used to be the case that you understand that if a person is running for office, you must have a very high bar to prosecute. It has to be a clear case. This, if the indictment is what we think it is, will have violated that rule and lowered the bar. And that lowering of the bar will apply to Republicans, to Democrats, and for everybody. And this is a case that endangers all of our freedoms. If you can bring a criminal case on the basis of this kind of flimsy evidence and law, that means nobody is safe. Justice Jackson once said, excuse me, that any prosecutor can rummage through the statute books and find something to pin on somebody. And that's not the way American law should apply, and that rule, too, has been violated by yesterday's actions.
Yeah, it very much feels like a Berea prosecution. Show me the man, and I'll find you the crime. One thing that's always stood out to me throughout this process is you identify in your book Get Trump and have talked about being problematic from the get-go is, usually, sometimes when you have a high-profile political person saying they're going to go after somebody, it's for something that's already happened in a clear criminal context. Like, oh, I'm going to go prosecute Enron, or I'm going to go prosecute the white collar, or whatever. I'm going to go prosecute that guy. I'm not sure on what yet, but I'm just going to go get that guy. You know, the old famous Berea statement to Stalin, show me the man and I'll find you the crime. To what degree does this raise issues of due process? That if we see the indictment and we see laws being applied in ways that could not have been really on fair notice of most people, as you pointed out very articulately at the beginning, non-disclosure agreements are done all the time. Nobody puts them in their public disclosure later or their internal documents. Oh, by the way, here's my hush money payment. I mean, it defeats the whole purpose of a non-disclosure agreement. Now, all of a sudden, all those people could be criminally prosecuted all across America. How much is there an issue of fair notice and due process that might come up in these proceedings as well?
Well, there's no question. There is an issue of fair notice. There is an issue of what the law calls lenity. When you have ambiguous statutes, they have to be resolved in favor of the defendant. It all goes into the concept of targeting, of get Trump, of due process violations of selective prosecution. All of these will be raised. Some of them are harder than others to get a judicial relief on them, but they are all part of also the court of public opinion. For example, the governments can argue the statute of limitations didn't get told because he was out of the state, meaning you couldn't indict him if he was in Washington, D.C., but they indicted him when he was out of the state. So that gives the lie to the notion that they couldn't have indicted him any day over the past 7 years. And statute of limitations of misdemeanors, 2 years, felony, 5 years. Those are long expired. Why didn't they indict him while he was outside of the state, or even while he was in the state, which he came to from time to time? And the reason is obvious. Prosecutors looked at the case and they said there's nothing here. And so they didn't indict him, and now they decided to change that 7 years later. That should not survive a statute of limitations scrutiny, but it might, because the New York Court of Appeals had a weird, weird decision about how you count the days being out of the state. But I don't think that's consistent with what the statute of limitations, which was enacted by the legislature, had in mind.
And can you explain for folks that the statute of limitations isn't just like some little procedural aspect? Sometimes we hear, you know, technicalities, and people use that excuse for how criminal defendants escape as they view justice. In fact, these are constitutional rights and liberties meant to impose fair notice is a critical component of what statute of limitations is all about. And that the rule of lenity, as you mentioned, is about protecting against the defendant being wrongfully prosecuted in a way they couldn't fairly anticipate and how we interpret the laws. Could you remind folks that, you know, what other people call technicalities are the core to constitutional liberty in America?
Well, my life has been a life of trying to impose what other people think are technicalities and I think are the essence of what makes America the greatest democracy in the world, that we have rules of law, and those rules of law have to be enforced fairly and equally. And statutes of limitations are part of them. Look, we're seeing a challenge to statute of limitations. The Me Too movement got many states to eliminate statutes of limitations for rape and other sexual crimes, and that has created major problems because memories disappear, witnesses disappear, and statutes of limitations have to be taken seriously. And I don't think any crime other than perhaps murder should be prosecuted beyond a certain period of time, 5 years, something like that. But they certainly shouldn't be extended after the statute of limitations has expired. The Supreme Court has said that would be unconstitutional. So there is a constitutional dimension to statute of limitations.
Have you been surprised? I've been surprised to some degree at many of my friends on the left, in particular, but not limited to it, within the legal world, have, in my view, abandoned a lot of their principles, either because of political pressure or because of just like Trump derangement syndrome and the rest. Have you been surprised at seeing that? And are you, while you predicted it in Get Trump and forecast this is where the world was going, are you still surprised that we're actually here? We're to this point.
I am. I'm disappointed. In my previous book, The Price of Principle, I talked about how so many civil libertarians, people like my former colleague Lawrence Tribe, and the ACLU are prepared to give up on the Constitution in order to get Trump. And I've had people say that to me. We're prepared to do anything, distort any constitutional provision, ignore any rule of law if we can get Trump. And that's why the subtitle for my book, Get Trump, is The Threat to Civil Liberties, Due Process, and Our Constitutional Rule of Law. It's not only a threat to Trump. It's not only a threat to people who get indicted. It's a threat to have the rule of law subordinated to the preference of politics. And I think we're seeing more and more and more of that. There's less respect for the Constitution. And people on the hard left, particularly in the woke movement, have said over and over again, we don't care about freedom of speech. We don't care about due process. We know the truth. We know if you're a man who's been accused by a woman, you have to be guilty. What do you need a trial for? What do you need due process? We know if you're somebody who makes statements that are sexist or racist, there's no room for that under our First Amendment. We don't need to hear your point of view. That's what happened in Stanford when a group of people from the National Lawyers Guild organized an attempt to try to shut down and silence a federal judge whose views they disagreed with. National Lawyers Guild is going to do that all over the country at 100 law schools where they have organizations. And so we have to fight back for every one of our amendments. Look, if I were writing the Bill of Rights, I might not put the Second Amendment in, certainly not in the ambiguous terms that it's there today, but it's there. And we have to fight to preserve it, just like we have to fight to preserve the Fifth Amendment and the First Amendment. That's the basis of our democracy. The Bill of Rights is a constraint on majority rule, and we have to keep that viable, and we're not doing that. We're allowing partisan political preferences to prevail over the Constitution.
Thanks for being with us, Professor. I've read many of his books. I have most of them in my library. I recommend Get Trump because it's about bigger, and as he articulates well, beyond Trump himself. It's about our rule of law. It's about America. So we'll be right back after the break.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.